Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wolf's Den today. Today, we're lucky enough to have Sarah H. in the studio. Hi, Sarah. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for stopping by. I love that. I love your hair there. I like that purple in the front. That looks really good.
Thanks very much. It kind of changes every couple of weeks with my mood.
Yeah, but I noticed that you're pretty partial to purple.
Yeah. I like purple.
So, hashtag heartbreak love songs.
That's my EP.
That's your EP.
Yeah.
And we're going to listen to that today. Now, you put this out in 2016?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It came out in 2016.
Somewhere's in around there.
Yeah.
And it's a labor of love.
It is. It was a lot of fun to work on it in the beginning. And then I was working with two musicians and my guitar player, Jamie Butler. He passed away during the middle of recording, so we kind of had to halt everything. And after a couple of months went by, I decided, well, I needed to kind of commemorate like the work we had did together, because we had worked together for almost 2 years, playing shows all over Halifax and Nova Scotia and stuff like that. And I wanted to give something to his family and to his friends to remember him by, because he was very well known in the music industry as well. My brother and I worked together, and we did everything we could with the cuts that we had of the track and put those four songs together.
Well, it's an excellent CD.
Thank
or
you.
EP, whatever we want to call it. It's an excellent piece of your talent. How
Thank
about
you.
That?
Thank you so much.
Falling Down, the first song, I don't know, I listening to it, the hauntingness, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but the just the tone and everything of your voice, it just takes us and draws us right into the song right off the bat.
Thanks very much. Yeah, most of my songs are written about my failed relationships that I've had over the past. And that's why it's called hashtag heartbreak love songs, because they say write what you know. And I'm really, really good at breaking up. I've done it a lot of times. So these are kind of all, they're all just for, you know, testament of the relationships that I had failed.
Well, you know,
I'd like to say I'm like a chubby Taylor Swift with a cooler hairdo.
There. I'll agree to that. I won't argue with you on that at all. Oh, my goodness. You know, but it's great. It's a great way to have that kind of attitude, though, you know. I mean, no matter who we are and what we do, life is going to kick us.
Oh, my gosh.
At some point in time. You know, like, I mean, none of us are going to get away without getting a kick.
Yeah. It's like therapy for me, I guess is the best way to put it. Like, I've gone through a lot of things in my life. I was homeless as a teenager and for part of my adult years. I then had a child and went through separation with his father and then found out my son was autistic. And I had a lot of things happen in my life, and I've just dealt with each thing one by one by one. And but the thing that I had the hardest time coping with, I found, was like my relationships. They were the things that I couldn't really figure out or do, and it was the best way for me to cope and deal through what I was going through was to write it down in song.
Yes, and you get the message across really, really well. Now, Falling Down has got a really good message to it, and then Nowhere Bound.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty prolific, actually. When you listen to the song, the title of it really kind of hits it on the head, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's about being with somebody who sort of just has no direction, and they're trying to keep you there and pull you into that when you have another direction to sort of go, you know?
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, it's not good when somebody's lost and they're trying to drag you with them.
Exactly.
You know, like, I know the way.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah, and it's about sort of like releasing that person from your life and releasing that like negative sort of thinking.
Well, you know, every time you're in a relationship and something goes wrong with it at the other end of it, as long as you learn something when you come out, it doesn't have to be always bitter.
Exactly.
You know, it can be a little bit of both. It can be have some bitterness to it, but as long as there's a learning curve there, and you know, then it's not a mistake.
Well, exactly. And I don't look at anyone I've ever dated as a mistake. I've only ever looked at it as you know, just, yeah, exactly, a learning process. And so this is what I've learned, and this is how far I've grown from it. And I mean, most of them know their songs. Like, most of them know, like, it's not hidden from them, like, what this song's about, you know?
Well, so, you know, the Taylor Swift reference really comes in play here. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to listen to Falling Down and Nowhere Bound from Sarah H. right here on CIOE 97.5, your real Atlantic radio station.
You circles, or you'll be nowhere bound. Oh, 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 oh. Now it's finally over, 'cause I took the last step. I'm not coming back, baby.
Welcome back to the Wolfstead, ladies and gentlemen. Today we've got Sarah H. in the studio. Sarah, I tell you, falling down and nowhere bound. Like we said earlier, they definitely hit their mark. Now, Sarah, you were talking there about it when you did your EP. We lost Jamie. And then you were talking about you have a son. And I know, from following you on Facebook for the last couple of years, I know just exactly how passionate you are about your love for your son.
Yeah.
And your goal to make things go better for him and people like him, correct?
Yeah. Well, my son's 14, and when he was diagnosed with autism, he was 5. And so it's been almost 10 years. And in the course of that time, it's been a lot of struggles and a lot of, you know, challenges with the government, with, healthcare, with things like that. So it's really about sort of trying to make him have the best quality of life. A lot of times with people who have autism, sometimes they have other diagnoses as well, which, you know, but we don't. I'm fairly lucky. My son's a high functioning autistic and he can do a lot of things independently. So we do have hope that one day he will live independently. And so we're always just constantly trying to work for that. He was going to a private school when he was in grade 7, but unfortunately the government wouldn't help fund the school, so we had to shut the school down. And now he was reintegrated back into a public school for most of junior high, and he's about to go into grade 10. And yet again, here we are trying to get him back into a private school that has a 4-year program as opposed to the typical 3-year program.
Yeah.
So we've just, you know, we're just working hard as a family together, doing what we can to kind of just give him the best quality of life. And a lot of it's out of pocket and through Autism Nova Scotia. And without, you know, I think without Autism Nova Scotia, we wouldn't have been able to get as far as we have, like with his socialization and things like that, because they offer such great programs.
Yeah, and I know that over the period of the last few years and when he was in private school, like, he really shined.
Yeah, we were getting a real good sort of balance between, the social part of it and the education as well. I find in the public school system, like, he's in a really great public school right now, and all his teachers and principals and everyone are working so hard with him and are doing the best they can to find a balance, but there's just doesn't seem to be the right sort of balance in the public school system for kids such as this, you know. And I mean, I totally 100% believe in like the inclusive system and things like that. I think that's great, but I just think that we need to sort of reformat how the program is put into the system, because we've been through it for 10 years.
Well, that's it. In the system, unfortunately, was designed, you know, 100 years ago,
yeah,
when autism wasn't even a word.
Yeah.
You know, so
they used to call people in the 50s refrigerator mothers.
Refrigerator mothers.
Yeah, because they was talking, because autism has to do with like inner sort of stuff, and there wasn't a bond. But I mean, anyone who's ever met my child and has seen me interact with them knows 100% there is a bond there.
Yes.
You know, I mean, he's the most loving, adorable little dude that I've ever, you know, gotten to have in my life, and I'm so happy. But it's just sort of, sometimes it's frustrating because you see all the developments that happen in other parts of Canada or in the UK and the systems, how they have built there, and there's just like more opportunity. And here we're really, really struggling. I mean, you see all kinds of stuff in the news about the crisis center with the IWK and things like that, and we've been really fortunate to not have to need those things. But, you know, obviously it's enough with the paperwork, it's time to really get these programs implemented.
Well, that's it. And I mean, for you, like you said, you know, hopefully someday down the road, you know, your young fella will be able to live on his own,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and do all right. And I mean, and why wouldn't you want that?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, this next song we're going to listen to, Is It Over? I pressed rewind.
It's a song about unrequited love, I suppose.
I suppose. Is it over?
When you like were young, you know, do you remember having crushes on people?
Oh, for sure.
Well, I used to get big crushes on some people in my life, and this song was about a boy that I had a huge crush on, but he was my best friend.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was never, like, it was not mutual. And I had to learn really quick how to sort of deal with that. Because if I wanted him in my life, we had to be friends.
You know what? I can relate to that. When I was a young man, there was a lady that I had quite a shine for. And she didn't see any of that.
Yeah.
We were just best buds and, you know, please don't take it anywhere else, because it's not how I feel.
Yeah, exactly. And we had that conversation. He said to me, sorry, friend, but I don't feel that way. But you know what? Yeah. He's still my best friend now.
Yeah.
After, you know, it's been almost like 10 years.
Yes.
And he's still my best friend today. So.
Yeah. And we were best when I lived in out west. We were best friends for years. I mean, you know, we had got to the point where we had decided that, you know what, if we complicate this any more than what it is right now, we're just going to ruin it.
Yeah.
And I'd rather have you in my life as my friend.
He's more like, he's more like my brother now.
Yeah.
That's how it has been. I mean, my crush was a long time ago. I got over it.
You
quick.
Got over it.
I wrote the song. I got over it.
Good for you. Yeah, no, you know, some of my best friends and some of the people that I get along with the best are people from the opposite sex, and I'm very blessed that I have a wife that understands that, otherwise I'd be single. You know, I'm known for my hugs, so if my wife was jealous, it wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
But no, you know, sometimes that's the maturity we have to figure out is that, you know what? It's over. I pushed the rewind.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah. How is this going to work now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And that's the awkward thing, too, is that when you get to that stage and you have that conversation, you know, and before the conversation happens, you're wondering, oh, am I going to wreck this?
It's better to be brave, I've learned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, when you tackle things head on, you know, sometimes they don't work out the way you want, but at least then you know.
I got a song out of it.
Yeah, you sure did. Holy cow, we've got messages coming into the den. Listen to that, I tell you. Sarah, that's the president calling you. He says, is it over? I pressed rewind. Oh, well, things like that happen when you're doing radio, ladies and gentlemen. Sarah doesn't know what to say anymore.
I didn't know to say the president
calling. That just threw it right out. Yeah, the president, yeah. Well... Maybe not the president. I don't know. Somebody important is calling anyway.
It's my mom.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to listen to Is It Over? I Pressed Rewind right here on CIOE 97.5, the home of East Coast music.
chance of bright. I laid it all out for you and I told you what to do, but no, I'm not your type. Is it over? A breast rewind. Can't be sober all the time. You're like a movie star, your dreams are so big and far away. And you say that I'm there right by your side, except when it's late at night. Now hey, that's not right. Is it over? A breast rewind. Can't be sober all the time. And my dreams are crashing down. Is it over? A breast rewind. Can't be sober all the time. All I wanted was to be part of your charmed life. But who am I? Waiting around for you, I gave it up for you. But no, I'm not your type. Is it over? Breast rewind. Can't be sober all the time. Is it over? A breast rewind. Can't be sober all the time. And my dreams are crashing down. And I'm spinning all around. Cause my heart breaks without a sound. Oh, and my dreams are crashing down. And I'm spinning all around. Cause my heart breaks without a sound. Is it over? A breast rewind. Can't be sober all the time. And my dreams are crashing down. And I'm spinning all around. Cause my heart breaks without a sound.
Welcome back to the Wolf's Den, ladies and gentlemen. We just listened to Is It Over? I pressed rewind. Well, Sarah, I don't know. Your lyrics are right on point.
Thank you.
I mean, you certainly get your message across.
My message is kind of like, hey, you know what? I'm doing just fine without you.
And that's a good attitude to have. Yeah. But, you know, it's nice too, that you get to use your creativeness, you know.
It's the only thing I know, I guess, is the best way to put it. My mom told me I was, when she was pushing me in the stroller, I was singing Jolene, Jolene, Please Don't Take My Man. So it's just been something that I've always done. I've always loved singing. And even when I was a teenager and I started running away from home and putting my family through hell, that was how I made money, and that's how I learned guitar, and that's how I've gotten to the point that I am, you know, that I'm at today.
Yeah. Yeah, I left at a really early age. I didn't go to the street, although I was homeless for a little while and slept in my car and I did some couch surfing and you know and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably burned up a lot of friendships couch surfing, yeah.
I've made some of the bestest friends that I've ever made being homeless with them. I mean, homeless in Halifax as a teenager is definitely a lot different than being like an adult who's homeless and going through a rough time like losing their job. This was me trying to rebel against my family. It was the punk rock thing to do, was to leave home and squeegee and panhandle and stuff like that. And, you know, I remember my friends saying when we were like 14 and 15, oh, I hope I get kicked out in the summer, you know, things like that. So it was what was the cool thing to do back then. And unfortunately, I got swept up with that. And I put my family through hell because I left home at 16 and I didn't come back until I was having my son at 22.
Yeah. Yeah, I left at 17 and I moved to Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
You know, and I was an only child. So, and then, like the good son that I was, is I never kept in touch.
Yeah. See, I did. I would call my parents and go, I'm in danger, and hang up the phone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was a pretty bad person. I'm surprised their marriage survived me, to be honest with you. But because they are loving and they are wonderful people and they've always been very supportive and there for me. But I just was, it was just me being, I can't help but, you know, be honest about it. I was just being a, like a smart ass, I guess is the best way to put it.
You know what? We all have our road that we're going to go down, and there's a reason.
Yeah.
You know, do we always make smart decisions?
No.
But at the end of the day, I mean, did you learn anything, Sarah?
I learned how to play guitar.
There you go.
Yeah, no, you know? No, I learned a lot. And I mean, I was always the one who was going to go to the beat of my own drum, no matter what anyone said to me anyways. But yeah, no, I've got to experience a lot of really wonderful things being in Halifax and meeting the people in the community. People have reached out and helped me a whole lot. I did a lot of couch surfing and stuff like that. And like I said, some of my best friends today are people that I was homeless with.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then I've seen a lot of bad stuff and I've been through a lot of bad stuff as well. Nothing too scary or too traumatizing, thankfully, but you know, I have seen fights and things like that and people get robbed and stuff like that, and have had altercations with the police and all kinds of colorful things happen. But you know, it's made me rough around the edges and made me quite the survivor I am today.
Well, you know, like I say, we have to experience what we have to experience to make us who we're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, and I know I made a lot of mistakes in my early teens. I was very bitter. I had a really big chip on my shoulder and I was very angry. And I lashed out, and some of the people that got hurt shouldn't have got hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Even the people that had done me wrong shouldn't have got hurt the way that they did. And I can't go back, but I can be a better person today.
Exactly. And that's kind of like how I try to live my life as well. You know, I was angry and not a very good person before my son came along. I like to say that my son saved my life. Like, he really did. He got me out of that, you know, where I was, and made me have to make really important adult decisions that I didn't seem ready for. But like, I went back to high school, I ended up going to university and college and all kinds of different things, like after he was in my life. And then when, like I said, when I found out he was autistic, it was like another thing switched, and now all of my stuff is about learning about autism and learning how to give him the best quality of life. And that's really, you know, music is the second thing I do.
Yeah.
You know.
Mom is the first.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first and most important job.
Yeah.
But it's probably the most gratifying too.
It is, you know. I mean, to see the steps that he's been able to do when he was younger, you know, there were certain things he wasn't able to tell me about stuff, you know, he wasn't able to tell me how he felt or things like that. And now as he's getting older and he's learning more, he's able to do so much more. Like, he was scared to death when he was younger of getting water on his face. And now he's jumping into the pool in the deep end.
Yeah.
You know, wow. So, yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
You gotta love that. Yeah. You know, that's progress.
Yeah, exactly.
That's major progress, you know. But I think, too, my experience with autism, and that I have a lot of experience and a lot of dealings with people with mental health issues. But one of the things that I notice about people with autism is that when they trust you, they trust you.
Yeah.
You know, but that doesn't always come easy.
No. No, I don't find that it does. I mean, my son... I think the problem is sometimes when they put too much trust into people they don't know, you know, and that's the sort of thing we have to sort of be prepared for is that you can't always necessarily trust people. We had an incident that happened with the bus where we were trying to just get on the bus and the woman wouldn't open the door, wouldn't tell us why. I mean, it was safe to do so. I had to call in a complaint. I was contacted. The people told me I was right. They checked on the videotapes and that I was correct. It was safe, but she wouldn't open the door. And it was just odd because I thought if my son was there by himself and wanted to get on the bus and she wouldn't verbally communicate, he wouldn't understand because all of the pictures looked right. Everything was right. She was at the stop. It was safe to open the door. You need to be able to communicate, you know, that sort of thing. So it was a life lesson for him where he learned that you can't necessarily trust everybody.
Exactly. And things don't always go the way you think they're going to go. So sometimes you just got to take a breath and step back.
Yeah.
And I mean, in that day, I felt so bad for you that day. You know, when you posted about it and that, and I was thinking about your son and thinking, like, you know, how do you explain, that's, you know, like, how do you explain that to
him? Yeah, exactly. And that was the part that we were struggling the most with, was, like, how to make you understand, like, you know, I don't know what the reason was. I never asked why she wouldn't let us on the bus. I don't really care. Like,
that's it's not just important.
No, what's important is that she had an opportunity to verbally communicate that to me, which was safe to do so, and she didn't. And that could have went... It could have made our experience so much better and give me more trust within the system.
Exactly. Now, we're going to listen to a tune coming up here, and this is the last one off of your EP, and then you're going to play us a couple of tunes to go out live. Thank you very much for that. But we're going to listen to A Little High. So tell me a little bit about A Little High here in 30 seconds.
A Little High is about a song about a guy that I dated who had a cocaine addiction.
Oh, my. And he was always just a little high.
A little too high.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the addictions are out there. But, you know, again, another life lesson learned, right?
Yep.
You learned something out of that.
I did. I learned to not always trust people.
Exactly. And stay away from the cocaine.
Oh, for sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, A Little High from Sarah H. right here on CIOE 97.5, the home of East Coast music.
Left of mine, take me out and show me what I'm doing. I said, little high from me in your head. Little high on what's left to me.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's quite the day here today. I can tell you that right now. We just listened to A Little High. Oh. I don't know. There might be something in the room here. Holy cow. It's just foolish today. We're having a great time. Thanks for stopping in, Sarah.
I have had a wonderful time here with you.
Excellent.
I'm in glad. The wolf's den.
There you go. See? We don't bite. We don't hurt. Nobody loses any fingers or any blood.
I was hoping to.
Well, maybe after we turn off the mics. So now, Sarah, you're every year in the summertime, you for the last few years.
I've played Riverfest in Bridgewater, right? Yeah. So much fun. So amazing. So wonderful. I love everyone involved in it. I love the guys who put it on. I love all the acts that come. I love all the people I've met. It's wonderful. But last year, it rained so hard and was so awful and ruined the field that we were using. And like, usually I think it's like donated and they just like do the maintenance or whatever and pay for the maintenance. And it was completely trashed. So they are holding a benefit to help raise money so we can have Riverfest next year.
Excellent.
This year, I guess, for the summer.
Yep.
And so it's at the Best Western in Bridgewater on February 24th, and doors open at 7 p.m.
All right, and you're playing.
I'm playing, and Short Notice is playing.
My buddy Tony Rogers.
Yes, and Brazen's playing.
Excellent.
Yeah, and Black Whiskey Voodoo Collective and Dolly Van Gogh are playing.
Wow.
And the Oasis Belly Dancers will be there as well.
Oh, I've seen them.
Yeah, they're great.
They are great.
I know.
That's worth the admission, and how much is it?
I have no idea.
You have no idea. You're just going to be there.
I'm just going to be there. As soon as I know, it's going to be plastered all over Facebook, but right now I just know that those are the acts that are involved. I know where it is and what time it starts,
and that's all for Riverfest so that they can clean up the field so that they can have the festival there this summer.
Yeah, and it's a great place. I mean, it's wonderful. It's a great place for musicians to all get together and meet up, and it's so loving. Everyone's so supportive, and you network, and you know, I've met so many different people and have worked with so many different people out of there. It's been fantastic.
Well, Miller's played down there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And but Tony Rogers and Short Notice, I went to elementary school with Tony, so I've known Tony a good long time. Yeah. So hopefully, now what's the date again?
February 24th at the Best Western in Bridgewater.
Okay. And I imagine there's deals on rooms and everything that there.
I'm guessing.
You're just going to show up and play.
It's not, everything hasn't been worked out yet. I just know this little bit of information, and I just hope that we get a big crowd and we can raise the money. I also know that if you go onto the Riverfest webpage on Facebook, they have a GoFundMe page set up as well.
All right.
So it'd be great for you to check that out.
You know what, ladies and gentlemen, even if you don't go to this festival, all right, if you've got 10 or 20 bucks in your jeans that you don't know what to do with and you want to donate it somewhere where it's going to make a difference, let's give it to Riverfest, okay? Because the festivals that we have here in the summertime are second to none.
Yeah, and it's great, and it's like, it's amazing, and it's so much fun, so it's really worth, and we don't really have like a whole lot of festivals for local musicians, really, like, as you know, and this is such a great platform for people to
It is indeed. Yeah. I wish my motorhome was a little smaller, like tent size, so I could go. Usually I'm usually booked that weekend, but if I'm not, I'd really like to take it in.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's so loving.
I know my buddy Chris DeLong played there last year with a band. I can't remember the name of his band, but Chris was saying really good things about it as well.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, that's what we need. So, Sarah, we're going to get you to end today. We're going to get you to play Our Love Forever and What About Love.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to get you to play them live here in the studio. And that's going to take us out for the end of the day. Now, people can reach you on Facebook.
Yeah, Sarah H. Music on Facebook. You can search me on YouTube for Sarah H. Music. All kinds of... Actually, you can just Google it and I'll pop up.
You'll pop up.
I'm the girl with the funky hair.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say, all you got to do is look for the hair. And usually there's a tint of purple in there.
Yeah. You know? Or blue.
Or blue.
Yeah.
But that's just the way you are. Thank you. Thank you so much for stopping into the Wolf's Den
today.
Thanks
so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Yes, and I want to thank my producer, Mr. Jim Womble. And ladies and gentlemen, as we always say on the Wolf's Den, please, please be kind. Be nice to each other. And always, always, always hug the ones you love.